We're going to rejoin with the Apostle John and his wonderful epistle as we have through the Advent season now. And we're going to be looking at 1 John 3, 11 through 18 this morning. And the way John starts off this particular passage, in a sense, he's now starting off the new part, the second section of his epistle is, "For this is the message which you have heard from the beginning." And that message is to love one another. And that message is repeated throughout the Gospel of John, and it's also repeated throughout the Epistle of John. Indeed, in the Gospel of John, in the upper room, where the night when Jesus was to pray, when he was betrayed, he is there with an intimate fellowship with his disciples, and he says this, "A new commandment I give you, that you love one another, even as I have loved you, that you also love one another." He was just pounding that thought home. Why? Well, our tendency is to not love one another. I wouldn't say that our tendency is to hate one another. It is simply to ignore one another. But we as Christians have to go on the offensive. We have to take enemy ground. We live in a cold, dark, unloving world. And God expects us to change that because of our behavior towards others, in particular, others that are within the church. So we are looking at a very old commandment this morning, but with some new insight from the Apostle John in his wonderful epistle. And my prayer is you will learn to love your brother. Let's go to the Lord. Father, we ask that you would help us to get out of our complacency, our selfishness. Help us to know that the primary way we can show love towards you is by showing love towards others, especially those others that you have adopted into the family of God. And every person who is sitting in here today has something they are struggling with in their life. And they may not feel like they can tell anybody about it. Every person has something that they're celebrating, and they may not have anybody to share that with. We so often go our own way, consumed with our own calendar, our own interest, our own making money, our own school preparation, and we forget the basic principle that we are to love our brother. Change that today in the power of the Holy Spirit and through the ministry of your Holy Word. We pray in Christ's name. Amen. Please do turn to 1 John 3, beginning in verse 11. We're going to just break this short passage down in two ways. We're going to see hateful Cain and his example from the Old Testament in verses 11 through 13, and loving Christians in verses 14 through 18, according to the Spirit-inspired Apostle John and what he has to say. So let's look, first of all, at hateful Cain and his example, beginning in verse 11. This is the word of the Lord. "For this is the message which you have heard from the beginning, that we should love one another, not as Cain, who was of the evil one, and slew his brother. And for what reason did he slay him? Because his deeds were evil, and his brother's were righteous. Do not be surprised, brethren, if the world hates you." So John starts off here with a negative example. In fact, it's the only reference to the Old Testament character in the entire epistle. And of all the people he chooses for the person you to not be like is Cain, the firstborn person on planet Earth. And he speaks about how Cain and how he was evil and reminds us that he slew his brother. But that's all the information he gives. In a sense, he's assuming that his readers understand Cain and they know the story of how Cain killed Abel. But I've learned you cannot make that assumption anymore. As y'all know, I have opportunity, and truly, it's a blessing. It's my golf. I love teaching as an adjunct professor, and I teach an Introduction to the Bible course, and we go through the books of the Bible and the Old Testament. And most of my students were raised in churches. But one of the things I have found out is most of them, probably most, do not know the Old Testament characters. With this exception, if there was a VeggieTales video about that Old Testament character, they would know it. I'd get up there and I'd talk about Gideon and then just have these blank stares, you know, when I talk about Jericho. And I remember talking about Joshua and Jericho one time and someone says, was that when they got on the wall and threw slushies down? And that's the one. You know, you, when you're teaching, you're desperate for any kind of connection. And I don't know why. My thought is it's probably because of this consuming interest in dispensationalism. And if people who embrace dispensationalism are not careful, they just ignore the Old Testament. They see that as sort of a Jewish book. And they don't go through some of these great Old Testament characters. So there are many people today listening to this passage who don't know who Cain is. So, being the church that we are, we're going to introduce you to Cain. The story of Cain comes to us from Genesis chapter 4. I mean, this is like real early on planet Earth, right? And Abel was a keeper of flocks. Abel and Cain are Adam and Eve's children, sons. And Abel was a keeper of flocks, but Cain was a tiller of the ground. So it came about in the course of time that Cain brought an offering to the Lord of the fruit of the ground. Abel, on his part, also brought of the firstlings of the flock and of their fat portions. And the Lord had regard for Abel and for his offerings. But for Cain and for his offering, he had no regard. So Cain became very angry, and his countenance fell. Then the Lord said to Cain, "Why are you angry? And why is your countenance fallen? If you do well, will not your countenance be lifted up? And if you do not do well, sin is crouching at the door, and its desire is for you, but you must master it." Cain told Abel his brother, and at that time they were out in the field, Cain rose up against Abel and killed his brother. It's amazing, isn't it? It's tragic, isn't it? Theologically, what appears to have happened here is that Cain did not have the right form of heart in worship. He was going through the motions, and he offered perhaps the wrong kind of sacrifice. It did not involve blood, whereas Abel offered a blood sacrifice, which is, there are certain like grain offerings and wine offerings and things like that, but it appears that the heart attitude is wrong, Cain just sort of picked how he wanted to serve the Lord. We just don't have that option. God has determined how he wants to be worshipped. So this is the kind of the background on that. But instead, and the Lord literally, personally rebukes Cain. Did you pick up on that? And warns Cain that sin is trying to master him. And Cain was unrepentant. And he ended up, instead of repenting, he just decided to get rid of the thing that was bothering his conscience and kill Abel. So why did he do that? You know, one of the things I've found is Christians will sometimes end up being a little sympathetic to people like Cain. Have you ever noticed that? And the world is that way. You know, I mean, Jesus Christ Superstar, and that play from the 1960s, it almost appears that Judas is the hero of the story, right? We feel a little bit sorry for Achan, you know, and his family, how they were killed when Ai fell. And we kind of sympathize with Peter's denial of Christ. Let me tell you, that's not the way God thinks. What does the Holy Spirit say through the Apostle John? "For what reason did he slay him? Because his deeds were evil and his brothers were righteous." Boy, I tell you, I wish John was the a justice or a judge in many of our courts, because we're always trying to excuse people who commit murder, who commit robbery. They had a bad upbringing. There's something wrong. You know, they missed out on all these opportunities, stuff like that. Why do people commit murder? Because their deeds are evil. Because their deeds are evil. Why are their deeds evil? Because their hearts are evil. And that's a pretty clear teaching of Scripture. But before we start blaming this on them, we've got to examine our own heart. Folks, you're a sinner. There's a little bit of Cain in every one of you. And like Cain, if you feed that, it will grow and your sin can master you. Could it ever master you to the point of actually committing murder? Yes, it could. Ask David. Ask Moses. Ask Paul. He was the evil one. Cain was a child of the devil. Abel was a child of God. Now, you're not going to make friends in the marketplace when you start making that differentiation. I go to church, I'm a born-again believer, I'm a Christian, I'm even a Presbyterian, so I'm a child of God. You, by the way, are a child of the devil. I wouldn't advertise that point. All right. But that's kind of what the Bible does. It sort of lays people out. Not black and white, white, not American and Bolivian, child of the devil, child of God, saved, unsaved. It's just that simple. And it's that hard, right? And you think, well, a lot of these people are wonderful people. Indeed, they are. But they're following after the course of their father, the devil. We see this in John chapter 8. They use a similar terminology. Jesus is confronting or being confronted by his enemies. And Jesus says to them, "If God were your father, you would love me, for I proceed forth and have come from God. For I have not even come on my own initiative, but he sent me. Why do you not understand what I am saying? It is because you cannot hear my word. You are of your father the devil, and you want to do the desires of your father. He was a murderer from the beginning." I mean, you know, there's just no political correctness about what Jesus says, right? Praise God. He's just giving you truth. And that truth will wake up a lot of the children of the devil, and they'll become children of God. And by the way, every one of you were children of the devil, and at some point in time, you became the children of God through God's great grace. And we know this, right? Sometimes you can sense it. We went to that Spider-Man and the Spidey Universe cartoon movie last night. I should probably impress you by saying that I go to some kind of French foreign film in Latin or something like that. But I went to the Spider-Man cartoon movie. And you have this multi-spider universe, which of course happens. And you have five different Spider-Men, including a little cartoon pig Spider-Man, which was funny. But anyway, when the Spider-Men get together, they have Spidey sense. And they can kind of tell that's a Spider-Man. He doesn't look like a Spider-Man. He looks like a 1930s detective. That one looks like a little pig. But he's got spidey powers. We can tell it. And little bubbles go off. You're that way around other Christians sometimes, aren't you? You're a Christian, aren't you? You're a child of God, aren't you? Yeah. You can feel that sometimes, right? You can sense that. That's because you're part of the same family. You usually can tell with a peace and a smile that people have that the children of the devil don't normally have. So anyway, he's going down here. He's talking about Cain, and he's talking about Abel also in a sense. Abel was actually praised for his faith. We see this in Hebrews 11. "By faith, Abel offered to God a better sacrifice than Cain, through which he obtained the testimony that he was righteous, God testifying about his gifts. And through faith, though he is dead, he still speaks." Isn't it interesting? The second child